MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Brett McKay, investment consultant and group RA manager at 10X Investments. Brett, appreciate the time. I want to talk annuities before we get into them. From a practical perspective, at retirement, my Reg 28, a third of it I can take cash, two-thirds of it by law, by legislation, I need to buy an annuity or two or more if need be. I've got no avoiding that.
Hi, Simon. Yes, that's correct. So at age 55, you are able to take one-third of your retirement savings in your bank account, obviously subject to tax. The first 550,000 Rand of that is tax-free. And then with the remaining two-thirds, yes, you have to buy an annuity. Now, these are two types of annuities you can buy. You can get a guaranteed annuity, you can get a living annuity, and you can actually do a combination of the two, which is what we call a hybrid annuity.
Yeah, the combination I want to get in a bit. Let's start with the guaranteed or life annuity. This is essentially an insurance product. I give the insurer a pile of money and they promise me for the rest of my life, although it can be mine and my partner's life, as I understand, they will pay me money and it may or may not be inflation adjusted.
Correct. One of the biggest benefits of the guaranteed annuity is getting that secure income for life. It's done through guaranteed fixed payments. And yeah, it is generally offered by insurance companies. The nice thing about this is living annuity or guaranteed annuity investors don't have to worry about the markets and the market fluctuations. However, it does have its drawbacks. So for example, it might not keep up with inflation, although you can add an inflation benefit. And if the investor was to pass away, the capital goes to the insurance company, leaving the loved ones with no benefit. You can add a spousal benefit, however, but the same thing will happen to them in terms of the capital going back to the insurance company.
Yeah, and that is obviously always the key point with insurance. If you never claim, or if you live forever in this case, you're winning, but if you pass in a week or so, you're absolutely not. And part of the thing is with inflation is that, I mean, I'm not yet at retirement age, but from chatting to retirees, medical inflation is perhaps their big pain point, and their annuities are struggling, or their life annuities are struggling with it.
Correct, correct. I mean, we all know inflation is one thing, but personal inflation is completely different things. So, yeah.
The living annuity, a lot more flexibility. This, in essence, you're taking your cash, as I get it, and you are getting an investment product that you can then draw out of as and when you need.
Yeah, 100% correct. So it's more flexible in the sense that you can make changes to your draw amounts on an annual basis. You can change the income frequency. So if you don't want to take your income on a monthly basis, you can set it up biannually or annually or quarterly. And you can also change portfolios. So you've got options in terms of asset allocation. It gives you that little bit of flexibility just in terms of being able to adjust what you want in terms of your goals for the specific asset classes that you're in.
In terms of the asset classes, I mean, I imagine then, I mean, I can split between bonds and equities, cash. I can also, I imagine, split local and offshore.
Yeah, 100%. So as you mentioned earlier, a living annuity is not Regulation 28 compliant, meaning you can go 100% offshore if you would really like to.
And your income that you take from that, this is an investment. Your income is therefore taxable at whatever your tax rate happens to be.
Correct, correct. So you'll take an income on an annual basis and you'll be taxed at your marginal income tax rate.
You mentioned, or I said, that you can take what you want. Truthfully, there are minimums and maximums in terms of how much I can draw at any one point or any year from the annuity.
Yes, quite right. So the minimum you are forced to take is 2.5% per annum. The maximum is 17.5%. So generally, we suggest, just in terms of the sustainable sweet spot, because you obviously want to ensure that your lump sum lasts as long as possible. We're looking at a 4 to 6% drawdown, just in terms of sustainability sweet spot. The closer to 2.5%, the better. But obviously, everyone has, you know, different income requirements.
Yeah, and it depends what that size of cash is. The main benefit and the main con is that you're exposed to the market. Now, we've had two brilliant years of offshore markets, but we also, the year before that, was the bear market. It is that market exposure which you need to manage as well.
Quite right. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about a living annuity is when you get to retirement, I think retirees want to immediately go conservative and park their funds into, you know, bonds and cash, when they've actually got another 20, 30, maybe even longer time horizon.
So
it's very important to make sure that, yes, there will be the volatile periods, the short-term volatile periods, but the end goal is essentially to grow the capital and to beat inflation. And we know that in terms of over time, you want to have that equity exposure, maybe a mix between local and offshore, but you definitely want to make sure that you are somewhat aggressive in your approach to grow that capital.
Yeah, that's a great point. We always talk around, you've got sort of what, 40 years to save for retirement. Truthfully, you might also have 40 years in retirement. You can't just go bonds and cash on retirement day. I want to come back to hybrid. You mentioned a blend of both. I mean, I can see the benefit here where you might use a guaranteed product to sort of, I don't know, cover your medical and maybe food and shelter, and you'd lose your living, one that you will draw down as to 2.5% or 17.5% for the other bits and pieces. Would that sort of be the structure that people would look at in a hybrid environment?
Yeah, quite right. I often see investors using the guaranteed annuity portion just to lock in that income for, like you say, medical aids, day-to-day grocery expenses, mm-hmm. the usual expenses that you get on a monthly basis, and then maybe use the living annuity portion for other kinds of expenses. So it is quite a nice option to have both.
And something, and I think it was you who mentioned it on a webcast we were on sometime maybe last year, actually about potentially also having a couple of living annuities. It might be the same provider, it might be the same assets, but a bit of flexibility, because at some point, I don't know, at 85 maybe, you could then flip some of that into a guaranteed as well.
Yeah, 100%. So with a living annuity, you can have multiple living annuities. What I see clients do is they'll often stagger them into different stages of a guaranteed annuity. Mm-hmm. So for example, they'll convert one in 10 years' time to a guaranteed annuity, and then maybe another 10 or 5 years after that, they'll convert to another one. And that just gives them some more flexibility. Once you go from a living to a guaranteed annuity, that is essentially the end of the road.
Yeah.
So you want to give yourself options. It also avoids having to convert your entire fund to a guaranteed annuity if that's what you'd like to do in, say, late 70s, 80s.
Yeah, gotcha. We'll leave it there. It's Britt McKay, investment consultant and group RA manager, 10X Investments. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.